Okay, then verse 41. When my mind remains untamed despite my spiritual practice, it is the weapon of evil karma returning on me, pursuing ambitions of greatness in this present life. From now on, I shall concentrate on seeking true liberation. Okay, so when my mind remains untamed despite my spiritual practice. Okay, so even when we practice, our mind is still a monkey mind, you know, swinging from one branch to the other branch, getting into mischief, doing all sorts of things. So this is similar to the last verse. It's like, you know, we try and do something, but somehow the mind is not taming very easily. Okay, so what's the reason? Yeah, the wheel of the weapon of evil karma returning on me, pursuing visions of greatness in this present life. So rather than be interested in the Dharma, we've been interested in status and reputation. Okay, we want to be known as a teacher, you know, have a nice group of doting little students following us around, that chance. You know, we want to get some status in the Dharma Center, you know, so we can be important and other people can look up to us. We want to be the great one at our work who is in charge of a great number of people, you know, and gets to go to all sorts of conferences, you know, keynote speaker. So you have your little collection of, you know, tags with who you are. You know, all these ambitions of this life that we seek. So because of that, our mind has remained untamed despite our spiritual practice. And again, you see why? Because our mind hasn't really been directed towards spiritual practice. It's been directed towards worldly practice. So remember that the line that demarcates worldly practice from Dharma practice is whether there's attachment to the happiness of this life or not. Yeah, when there's attachment only to the happiness of this life, the mind's not thinking about future lives, liberation or enlightenment, it's a worldly motivation. And so it brings worldly success if we happen to be lucky, but nothing more than that. Yeah. And so this was why it's so important to continuously cultivate our motivation, why we start out all of our sessions here saying the prayers and developing our motivation. Why in the morning, first thing before you even get out of bed, you develop your motivation? Why we're always checking our motivation? Because without that, you might do all sorts of high practices. But even if you get some kind of something result, it doesn't really get used in a beneficial way. So even if you develop single-pointed concentration, you know, because the mind doesn't have a Dharma motivation, then the you know, ability gets abused and the mind still remains in cyclic existence, you know, in its confusion. So that's why generating the motivation is so important, because it's the motivation that determines what is Dharma and what isn't. Okay? You know, it really rests on the motivation. And that's so important, you know, as we look around to what Buddhism is becoming in America, you know, advertising this retreat, advertising that practice, advertising this special, you know, opportunity, to always check what is our motivation and what's the motivation, you know, of those doing it. Yeah. And so, because that's really what determines if it's Dharma activity or worldly activity. You know, whether you write books, whether they publish you in Tricycle, whether they do who knows what. You know, whether it becomes Dharma or not depends on the motivation. Okay, so that's why from now on I shall concentrate on seeking true liberation. Okay, so what's important to us becomes liberation from samsara, not jumping further into samsara. Because when we have ambitions of this life, you know, again, we're just trying to get the best samsara can offer. Yeah, and so we fail to really see all the disadvantages of samsara, that there's absolutely no lasting happiness. There's no security. You know, there's no way to be lasting happy in samsara, you know. But we're so dysfunctional that we're like the rats that keep on pecking at the little thing, hoping to get a grain of rice the next time, and it doesn't come. And so we just keep trying, you know, let's tweak our samsara, let's, you know, get the perfect circumstance, let's meet the right person and get the right job and present the right qualifications and get the right this and that, and then we'll be happy. And we keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and look where we are. Okay? That's why we come to a Dharma course. If we got perfect happiness from samsara, you wouldn't be coming to a retreat. Okay? So it's just really, you know, realizing that there's two different kinds of happiness. One is worldly happiness that eventually becomes suffering, you know, because it doesn't last. And the other is Dharma happiness, which only increases the more that we, you know, live in it. Okay? So, you know, at the beginning it's hard because we haven't tasted Dharma happiness yet. We're just going on faith. But, you know, when you try and practice and you begin to watch your mind change and you see that you're a little bit more peaceful than you were last year, then you're starting to get a taste of Dharma happiness and you see the benefit. And so then you start shifting your eggs to that basket and out of the worldly basket. Okay? You know, you buy more stock in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Let go of the stock market. Okay?